This is study 71 in our study, and today's date is December the 2nd, 2020. And it's just hard for me to believe we're in December already, but here we are. And so we made it through second chapter, 13th verse, last study, and we're going to pick up with this study 71 in verse 14, and go as far as we can in the time allotted that we have this night. And the verses are a little shorter in the rest of this, because we went through these times that the bad things that Christ had to go through for us, and then his been given these things by God, his name, which was above all names, and all these things that we get involved in with that. But now we've gotten through that, and so verse 14 down through 18 is a kind of a summation, sort of what went on, and then we're going to get into the rest of the chapter with another part concerning Timothy and concerning Epaphroditus. We will have a little bit to say about that when we get there, because both were going to be sent, but one was going to be sent for one reason and the other was going to be sent for another reason. And the word sent there, if you look it up in the Strong's, or if you look it up in the Companion Bible, it says that the word sent there is generally with more than one person. And so that's going to give you a clue as to where we go with that when we get there. Verse 14. I'm going to read it in the King James. And there's not much difference, I don't think, between that and what comes down from the Koine Greek. And it says this: do all things without murmuring and disputing. And that's a takeoff of 13, where it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. So if we're going to do the good pleasure of God, then we're going to need to do it without murmurings and disputings. And you know as well as I know that we've seen murmurings in these studies that we've undertaken over the years, and a lot of the murmuring was done in the 40-year trip from the Red Sea to the Promised Land. And that caused a lot of people to lose their life, a lot of the Jews to lose their life because of their murmuring to God, because they were shown to do that a better way and they didn't do it. And so they paid for it. And we'll just leave that with that. But here we are again, and the word comes up again. So, yeah, you know, when we got to look at these things, then we got to, and Jack may take us back through some of this. I'm not real sure, because I've done this study 2 or 3 weeks ago. And so, we'll just go ahead and get with it. All things do all things. And that is what the Lord has expected of us to do. It's for Him and for what He has promised in the age that this was written and to whom it was written, and to realize that now the Jew has been set aside, there's still people that murmur.
Constantly.
Do all things, or you work. If you don't believe they murmur, if you've got a kid sitting on the couch playing with a telephone or a TV control or a game thing that plays on television, ask him to do something.
That's fine.
And you will see the murmuring start.
Yep.
Okay. So do all things or your work or what's expected of you without or apart from or with the absence of murmuring. That's in my notes. That which doesn't bring agreement is what we're talking about here. And, of course, disputings. And so that verse there has a colon at the end of it, which is full stop. So it's not very hard to express this, and it comes right to the point. All these things that our walk and our work that we're supposed to do for God is supposed to be done in love and in fellowship. It's not to be murmurings and disputings. You don't get anywhere with murmurings and disputings. Okay, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's 6 things here that we're going to look at after we do Jack's thing out of the Greek interlinear. So 14 there says, and I can't read it in the Greek, so I always have to read it to you the way it comes down. It says, all things do apart from murmurings and reasonings. And then in today's more modern English, it says, do all things apart from murmurings and reasonings. Jack says this, God's own people murmured against him. And we know that. We've read it over and over in Scripture. And we've understood that for the 40 years that they were there, they were in probation. It was their probation time. And some of it didn't make it through probation. And it is not understood that petty murmurings lead to more serious rebellions. The spirit of thankfulness and prayer is the antidote to whining against our Savior. Who can complain? Listen to this. Who can complain when the subject of His grace toward us is meditated upon? Okay, so we've got 6 things here that we need to read. And if you've got a workman's interlinear, I'm not going to go down the line there because I kind of put them in order in the Scripture to where when I started turning and looking for them, I didn't have to flip back and forth. My Bible was getting worn out. And that's a good thing. So I want to go back to Matthew. Let's just go
your
back.
Your Bible wasn't getting wore out. Your Bible was like mine. It is being wore out.
Let's go back to Matthew. Well, you know, if it looked new, probably wouldn't be getting anywhere much. Matthew 15:19. Okay, and here we go. 15, 19, it's on page 17, 12. No. 1343, I'm sorry. 1712 comes later. If you've already there, keep your finger on it. Matthew 15:19. Well, let's just go back to 17. It says, Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? Yep. But those things which proceed out of the mouth comes forth from the heart, and they defile the man. And here's the verse that we want to look at. For out of the heart proceeds evil, or evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So you see, we've got to be careful when we are thinking about these things, because those things that come out of your mouth is the things that can hurt the word being spoken and being put forth. Let's go to Mark 7. You know, we don't get into Mark very much. So this was kind of a unique thing, and as soon as I can find it, Mark 7, let's see if I can give you the page now, 21, page 1399, and I'm not on it yet. Mark 7, 21. And it's kind of the same thing. And it said, he said, verse 20, and he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, the evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So Jack's really making his point here that the murmurings and the disputings here are not what we're looking for. So let's see what John says about it. Let's turn to John 6. John 6, 41. I'll have to go one more page. I'll find it in a second. John 6, 41. And it said this. The Jews then murmured at him, or must be talking about what Jesus had said. Yeah. The Jews then murmured at Jesus because he said, I am the bread which come from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Well,
didn't know the whole story.
They didn't get the rest of the story. Yeah, exactly. They hadn't talked to Paul Harvey yet. Didn't get the rest of the story. Okay. That would be a pretty good little stretch of stuff to look at right there. It probably would be good for more study. Okay, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians. Let me get out of Acts. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 10. 10, that's page 1712. That's the one I read in the wrong line of my notes. So. Yeah, it's on page 1712, yep. And it says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Well, and so the notes in the companion Bible said the occurrence here is 6 times in the gospel. And talking about the destroyer is found in Hebrews 11:28, the destroying angel. Okay, so we see that it is the will of God that we get involved in murmuring, because just no place for that in the teachings of God. And Romans 14:1 talks about the disputings here. See, Jack kind of covers the whole gamut, the whole length of things. When he gets started looking these things up, that he deals with just about every word. Him that is weak in the faith, 14:1, that's on page 1688, got a companion Bible. He that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. So, let him not that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. And I could imagine, and I'm certainly sure that you can too, in studies and in understandings that was a lot of problems with the Jews eating with the Gentiles because of what they could eat or what they could consider to be food for them. May have not been food for the other person, and that could have caused great problems. Okay. So, I guess that's where a lot of disputing come from, was over the eating and the way the people were brought up to understand and realize all that. Jude 16. And that's on page 1880, and that's on the other side of Philippians, for sure. 1880. I'll get there in a minute. I'm in Peter. June 16, 1882. Well, yeah, it has to be 16 because they end with one chapter. Okay. Let's go to 14 and read down. And it said, and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings. He said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurs. Okay, does that settle the bill with you? When you talk about murmuring, you said, these things spoken in Jude there, he gives pretty much the, right down to the word of how these people are and what they do. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So it says, but beloved members, ye word which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last times who should walk after their own ungodly lust. So that pretty much sums up that little verse of scripture with a lot of things that we need to ponder there. Because we're going to look at the next verse and we're going to go back to Philippians 2 again. And it'll take me just a second to get there. In Philippians 2:15, it says this, after we read all this stuff, that ye may be blameless. This is in the King James Version of verse 15 of Philippians 2. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So, all this was said in that one little short verse of scripture to say the difference that we've got here in verse 15 is that you might be exactly the opposite of what God's chosen people at one time was doing and what they were involved in with other folks. And it kind of gives us understanding that they weren't involved in doing the will and the practice of God, that they were doing their own thing. So when I go and look at my notes, it said that you may be or become blameless or not guilty and harmless. And if you look at the word harmless, that means good and simple. The sons of God without rebuke or blame in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation. Among or within whom you shine or that you appear as lights in the cosmos, in the world. Full stop. So 14 was a full stop telling you one thing. 15 is a full stop showing the difference between the two. And this is the way Scripture works out. So, go to Jax. Let's look at Jax. Thing in this on 15. Verse 15 says that you may be faultless and simple children of God, blameless in the middle of a generation of crooked and perverted, among whom you appear as lights in world system, that you may be faultless and simple children of God, blameless in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in world system. Jew. Well said. And Jack says this, the body member is to be without guilt, single-minded, unmixed with worldly desires, and focused on the truth of God. The generation spoken of runs cross-grain to the true believer. The generation, remember, is perverted. Are we in a different generation? Whether true or not, we must admit that the description fits our present generation perfectly. The body member sticks out. Listen to this. The body member sticks out as a light from the mountain summit, sometimes shining through the fog. The world system is clouded and muddied where virtue is concerned. No guidance from the world system can be sought by the body member. But remember, we have the head. And so that's what he's left with us here. And also, several other scriptures that we need to look at too, for sure. So let's do this again. First off, let's go to Deuteronomy 32:5, because it's in the front part of the book, and we'll go ahead and get that. 32:5 of Deuteronomy. I may have took that note out, or marker out. 32:5. Yeah. Deuteronomy 32:5, and it's on page 282 if you have a companion Bible. Okay. It here God is, says, hear the words out of my mouth, talking about God, given ear, or Moses was speaking. He says, and for he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Talking about those that God had chosen. Okay, now, we've got the Deuteronomy out of the way, and the rest of them is going toward the end of the Bible. Pretty much truth there, because we almost went to the beginning to get it. Okay, let's go to Matthew again. This time, we're going to look at Matthew 5 instead of Matthew 4. Matthew 5, we're going to look at, first off, we're going to look at three places in Matthew, but the first one is 5:14. Matthew 5:14, that's on page 13:17. And it says this, we are the salt of the earth, 13:14. But the salt has lost its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of man. In 14 it says this, we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So what did it say? We're like a light that shines in the world. A light that shines in the world. So we are the light that shines in the world. Okay. Now, let's go on to the next one. We're going to look at Matthew 10:16. Matthew 10:16 says, and this is on page 13:28. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Beware of men. They will deliver you up to the council. They'll scourge you in the synagogues, and you'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentile. So evidently Matthew had a pretty good idea of what was coming down the road too, in that sense. Okay. Now, there's one more here in Matthew, I think, 17:17. Matthew 17:17. Talking about the faithless and perverse generations. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. These were the disciples that couldn't cure the man. And it said, Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. But here was Jesus giving him a little quote in Matthew that he says, how long do you think I'm going to be around? How long do you think I'm going to be with you to do this that you can't do? Well, when he came to do that we couldn't do, he was almost done, especially for that particular time. Okay. Now, let's look on. Okay, we're going to look at Luke 23. Now here we go down the line again. Luke 23. I don't know where my note went out of this, but I ain't got them in there. Luke 23:14, page 1504. Let's go back to 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people? And behold, I have examined him before you and found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, not yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. He said, I'm going to chasten him and release him. They said, no.
Nope.
No. Let's look at the book of John, chapter 1. The book of John, chapter 1, we're going to read verses 9 through 12. The true light was not John the Baptist, but it was Jesus Christ. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Which were born believed on his name. This is John 1, 9 through 12. Okay. A few more. We'll get on down the road here. We're going to look at Acts 2. Verse 40. I don't know where my thing went from there either. May not have put them in that verse. Talking about, well, let's go back to 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Save yourself from this untoward generation. Philippians 1:10. That shouldn't be too hard to find. Just a page or so back from where we are. Philippians 1:10, page 1773, says this. That you may approve things which are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. 1 Peter 2:8 was just over there a while ago. First Peter 2:8 is on page 1857. No, 2:18, page 1858. I'm sorry. Talked about servants. Be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and to the gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thanksworthy if a man for conscience toward God endureth grief, suffering wrongfully. And so that happened quite often too. And in Revelations 20, verse 11. That's on page 1911. It says this. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Talking about the devil that had deceived those, they were cast into the lake of fire. Okay, that pretty much covers verse 15 in the sense that it was quite a lot to look at, too. How much time we got left, Ronnie?
It's 9:22.
Okay, let's do one more. Let's do 16. Philippians 2:16 says this, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So, looking back at what we just read, and realizing the world that we live in, how it still kind of fits the mode or the mold here. Paul says this, writing it certainly before he met his maker. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice. Here again is the word rejoice in Paul's writings here in Philippians. He wanted to have joy and he wanted to rejoice. So to hold forth the word of life is very important to him. What Paul gave us in verse 15 caused rejoicing in his ministry. Holding forth the word of life in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain. And to have not run in vain is a full effort to no effect. And the same applies to the rest of that verse. Neither labored in vain, that his effort that way was not in vain either. Not only carrying the word, but also dealing with his fellow man that had problems in their life too, that Paul dealt with quite graciously in a large amount of those times. There's three things here and we'll go home. Let's turn it back to Galatians 4 for just a minute. We get back before Ephesians and we get into Galatians. Boy, these pages are getting thin, sure enough. Galatians 4, there, we're going to look at verse 11. Talking about vain. That is no good. Or that someone else might get the good out of. This was Solomon's thing, and when God gave him wisdom, he talked about everything being under the sun was that which was vain, because it wasn't going to last forever. It was temporary. And so, in Galatians, Paul says this. Let's just go back to 10. It says, you observe days, months, times and years. He says, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain, because these things too were vanity, because they weren't going to last forever. Months, days, times, and years. When God is done with mankind and sits in eternity's realm, then these things are no longer needful. But he says, brethren, I beseech ye, be as I am, for I am as ye are, and you have not injured me at all. So he says, I was like you once, but now I'm asking you to be like I am. And to realize what is everlasting and what is here for just a time or a season. 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. Let me see if I can find Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 2. What's 19 and 20. It's on page 1790. If you have a companion Bible. The last two verses of chapter 2. It says this, for what is our hope, or what is our joy, or what is our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. That was Paul's thoughts, that all of this stuff that looked like he was doing in vain, there was something for it, something to it. And he never ever wanted to labor in vain, or he never wanted to run in vain. And I could agree with him about the running in vain. I've done some vainly labor in my days, but not a whole lot of running.
We all.
1 Timothy. Okay. You know, we're getting on over in Jack's book a little bit, because we're getting now in a little bit in the 1st and 2nd Timothy. Right? 18:14. So 2nd Timothy, I'm sorry. I can't even read my own writing at this time of day. Especially with a beautiful day I've had. 4. Chapter 4, verse 6. And Paul says this, 2 Timothy, for I am now ready to be offered, to be poured out. He was like a drink offering. It was going to be poured out. It was coming to his end. He said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So, he's come to the understanding that the Lord's done with him. He's said pretty much all he's about to say. The rest of it is in this same chapter here. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. Fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The faith he had in his Savior was still there in a great way. He says, henceforth, or from this time on, whatever time there is left, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing.
Amen.
Do you love his appearing? That appearing is the culmination of what Christ did for us when he hung on that cross. That when he went back to heaven, but for us, it is his appearing, because that's how we're going to get here, get there. Love is appearing. We've stopped with that. And thank you for me dragging on, but I had a pretty tough day today, and pray for me that I get some of this back tomorrow that I lost today going through all this stuff that man needs to go through to know whether he's all right or not. So pray for me that I'll be all right. I don't know yet, but I'm still feeling okay. So, other than full of water. And that'll go, but she said it would take maybe a couple of days to get the dye and all that stuff out of there, whatever they put in, to get their desired effect. And it is not a bad thing, but it's not a good thing either. I wouldn't want to do it every.
It's not an everyday
ordeal.
Wouldn't
want to have to do it every day.
Amen to that.
But they didn't see anything unusual, so thank God for that. And so maybe we'll get a clear bill. But I do think it was, personally, I do think it was more kidney stones. And I just happened to get to the doctor the day or two before they were going to, before at least
that show one out, eh?
Was going to show out. Yeah. And, and so that's, I thought, well, boy, she was really right. When I went to the bathroom and it was real red, and I said, gee. And then it cleared up the next day. And so thank the Lord for good prayers.
Amen.
And so we'll know in a few days. But I think that was probably it. I talked to them about hitting my rear end in the floor. They didn't seem like that. They seemed like that would have been shown up way before now.
So yeah.
Evidently, that's kind of where we stand. So thank you. Thank you for prayers. I need them. The older I get, the more I realize it too. God bless y'all.